The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
What is the real message Jesus Christ brought to this earth, my friends? Was it primarily about His own person? Did Jesus say, "Give your heart to the Lord"? Did Jesus ever say, "Make your decision for Christ"? Or, in fact, did the Jesus Christ of your Bible come with a powerful message that has been subverted and rejected by mainstream Christianity? What was that powerful message, and how is it going to change your life, whether you believe it or not?
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith answers the question, what is the true gospel? Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Why haven't you heard the dynamic message Jesus Christ brought to this earth? Why has it been rejected and subverted? Again, just how is it going to change everything? Notice what Jesus Christ said about His own teaching. Turn with me to John. Get your Bible. Check up on me. Prove these things. Don't believe me. I ask you to believe what you read in the pages of your own Bible. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning in verse 48. Follow along. Check up on me. John 12, verse 48. Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words, not just receive his person, but receive his message, his words, has that which judges him, the Father," or the word that I have spoken, "will judge him in the last day," he said. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." So Jesus spoke the Father's message. Get that. Notice John 14 now. John chapter 14 and beginning in verse 10. Jesus said again, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." Now let's turn to verse 24 of this same chapter. Again, Jesus spoke, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Again, did Jesus ever say, "Have you given your heart to the Lord," or make some appeal just about believing on His person and that was all? Think about it. Turn back to Luke. Follow me. Luke 6, 46. Let's check up and see what Jesus Christ Himself actually did say. Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why would you call Jesus your Lord? Lord means boss, Lord means master, and yet not do what Jesus said. That's a contradiction in terms. And let, my friends, hundreds of millions of people do that. They call Jesus Lord, they do not obey His commandments, they do not follow His example, they do not obey His teaching at all, but they call Him Lord. Now notice the actual message Jesus Christ brought to this earth. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 at this point, Matthew 4, verse 23. "Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." My friends, we use this term kingdom very generally here in the world of Christianity, so-called today. People think it's a warm feeling in your heart, or they think it's the church, or they think it's something else. I remember a minister that I used to have talked about us working together and all people of goodwill working together and praying and being good, and we would bring about the kingdom of God. Nonsense! Christ talks about Himself coming back in the power of God, shaking every mountain and every island out of its place, and the world will shake, and Christ will come down, and every eye will see Him. That is when the kingdom of God, the government of God, will be set up on this earth. Certainly we've got to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, our boss, our coming King, all those things, so we can be in that kingdom. But that is not the kingdom. The kingdom is a powerful government Christ will set up on this earth. A number of years ago, I returned from the kingdom of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. I spent about 4 years of my adult life over in Great Britain in a kingdom, a real government on this earth. And that's what we're going to see again. Notice in Matthew, or in Mark this time, chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, and what did he say? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The word kingdom means government. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So we need to repent of our sins, repent of our wrong ways, and believe the message, the good news of the coming government of God on this earth through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our living head, our high priest, and our coming King. Christ is all those things when we understand. Notice now let's go to Luke chapter 22 at this point. Luke chapter 22 and verse 28. Here the last night before he died, after what is called the Last Supper here, in the Passover service, Jesus said, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The apostles were to be in a literal kingdom, and they were to sit on thrones. Christ is talking about a real government. Picture, my friends, the city of Jerusalem. I've been there a number of times. Quite a number of you probably have as well. This very city, Jerusalem, is destined to be the world capital in a few years. For Christ and the resurrected saints will rule this earth from Jerusalem, a real kingdom, a real government. Will you be there? Will you believe the message Jesus Christ brought about the coming kingdom of God on this earth? Every real kingdom has four key elements. Number one, a king or ruler. Number two, subjects or citizens. Number three, a land or territory. Number four, laws and a form of government. And Christ's kingdom will be a real kingdom. It will have all these elements, and it will be set up on this earth. That's what your Bible says. It says that over and over and over again in the New Testament, as we have seen, and in the Old Testament as well, which Jesus quoted from as the Word of God. Let's turn back to part of the Old Testament, Zechariah 14 now. Zechariah 14 and beginning in verse 1. Here's a very powerful prophecy about that coming kingdom, that coming government of God that will be set up on this earth according to your Bible. Notice, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem." They're working on a peace process over there. And believe me, it's going to be a long process, my friends. I'm sorry to say that. The Jewish people are wonderful people, and they have suffered a lot. But Jerusalem is going to be captured once again, as this scripture explains, and many others do as well. That is going to happen, whether I were ever born or not, whether you were ever born or not. That is what the Word of God very clearly says. All nations will be gathered here before Christ comes. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Eternal will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day, in the day He comes back to this earth as King of Kings, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Yes, Christ is coming back to that big hill just east of Jerusalem. And that's from where He will rule from the city of Jerusalem. Notice verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall be the Eternal as one, and His name one." Christ will be the king over the whole earth from Jerusalem. Notice verse 16 of this same passage. "And it shall come to pass that everyone," this is a lot of people, "everyone who is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem," who fought Jerusalem, you see, in this previous battle, "shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, one of God's annual holy days. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth that do not come up to Jerusalem, notice where they're coming to the capital of the world where Christ is, that do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. They're going to say, we're not going to go up and keep some Jewish holiday. We're not going to obey this Jewish Messiah. Lots of people in various countries today would not do that. But they're going to do that then because God will speak to them, my friends, in a language they will understand. They will understand when they don't get any rain. They will understand when they get some plagues that are talked about here a little bit later. They will understand when God shakes them to their foundations. And they realize that this being living in Jerusalem is indeed the Son of God. The Son of God who is King of kings and Lord of lords over this earth. Then they will begin to obey Christ. Then they will obey His message. The message of obedience to God based on the Ten Commandments. A way of life. And there will be the kingdom, the government of God set up on this earth. Why haven't you heard this message before? Think about it. At this point, I want to urge you to call or write for an audio tape of this very message. This tape will help you to prove these things out of your own Bible. You can check up and go back and prove these things and be sure. Yet this tape will be sent absolutely free upon your request. No obligation. Along with this tape, we will automatically send you an absolutely free to our powerful scintillating magazine entitled Tomorrow's World. This magazine will take you even deeper into Bible prophecy and the awesome purpose for your life. So call or write today.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. Remember in Zechariah 14 and verse 9, we found this statement, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord is one and His name one." Christ will be king over all this earth, not up in heaven. Most of you have heard about going to heaven and rolling around heaven all day. Frankly, the Bible does not talk about that. It does not say that at all. Understand that. The Bible never says that. It says the meek shall inherit the earth. It talks about the kingdom of God being on this earth over and over. Please understand that. Let's turn now to Revelation. Turn now to Revelation chapter 11, and we'll see something very powerful right here. Revelation chapter 11, and beginning in verse 15. And follow me in your Bible again. Get your Bible. Prove these things. "Then the seventh angel sounded," John writes, "and there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world," not the kingdoms up in heaven, the voices were in heaven, but it says, "the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Christ will reign over the kingdoms on this earth forever and ever. Get that. It says that. That's what it says. The kingdom will be on this earth. Notice now, my friends, Revelation 19. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible now. Follow Revelation 19 and beginning verse 11. Here it describes the second coming of Christ in a magnificent way. "Then I saw heaven open," John says, "and behold a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire." Christ's eyes are blazing with power and glory when he comes again. "And on his head were many crowns." Says in verse 13, "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Now, verse 15, "Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations." He is going to strike the nations. There aren't wicked nations up in heaven. He's going to strike the nations of this earth. and he will rule them with a rod of iron here on this earth. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is the great King over all this earth. He is coming again. A literal government will be set up within the lifetimes of most of you hearing me on this very program. Think about it. A real kingdom is going to change everything. Literally everything around you will be changed. Going on in this chapter, he describes how Christ and the mighty angels will grab the beast and the false prophet, throw them into the bottomless pit, and so on. And in chapter 20, the story goes on. Revelation 20, Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. He lays hold on this one who's deceived this whole world. And it goes on to say that that's why people are all mixed up about what the true gospel is all about. He lays hold on Satan and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. Have you been deceived? Think about it. A person who's deceived does not know he's deceived normally unless something comes along to wake him up. I hope my voice will wake up many thousands of you with God's mercy and God's help and God's calling. So he is put in the pit so he does not deceive the nations of this earth. But after these things, he must be released for a while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on him, and judgment was given to them, the saints. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, those who had not worshipped the beast or his image. This coming great dictator, this great dictator over the world that's going to rise pretty soon, and they that had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And notice, and they, these saints who had resisted this evil power and obeyed God, they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They lived and they reigned or ruled. Reign means rule with Christ for 1,000 years. A kingdom, a government will be set up. And they will rule in it. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's an interpolated thought. Then he comes back to the theme. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3 now in your New Testament, right after John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3 at this point, my friends. Acts chapter 3, and let's begin reading here in verse 19. Peter is speaking, the inspired apostle Peter. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ. Yes, Christ is coming again. God will send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until a certain time, until the times of restoration, or as the King James has, the times of restitution. Restitution or restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, all of them, since the world began. Let's go back to one of those holy prophets. Turn back to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, beginning verse 1, Micah writes, Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, not just any old time, not way back when, but in the latter days, the end of this age, the years we're just about to live into here over the next several years of your life and my life, the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. The term mountain sometimes means kingdom or government. Quite often does when used symbolically. So talk about going up to the kingdom of God, God's government, God's rule. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion the law shall go forth. The law. All through the Old Testament, it talks about the law of God, and when it mentions just the word law, it's talking about the Ten Commandments over and over again. As Jesus told the young man who came and said, "Good Master, how can I inherit eternal life?" This is Matthew 19, verse 17. And Jesus said, "If you would enter into life, keep the commandments." And he began to name some of the Ten Commandments. Matthew 19, verse 17, the way to eternal life, the very basis of the kingdom of God, the government of God to be set up on this earth. That will bring peace. That will bring order. That will bring real happiness when people learn to love their neighbor as themselves. Out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem is going to come forth from where? I've already expressed that. From the city of Jerusalem, right on this earth. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. He'll come with power. They won't kill him. They won't spit on him. They won't crucify him this time. He will come as King of kings and Lord of lords with awesome power to shake this earth to its foundations. That's good news. That sounds kind of scary in a way, but you know the bad guys have to be shaken up once in a while, right? And that's exactly what God Almighty is going to do. He'll rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. They're not going to be taught to hate and fight and kill anymore. They're going to be taught rather to love God with all their heart and strength and mind, and to love their neighbor as their self. That will be the law of the kingdom of God. That will be the way of the kingdom of God. Think about it. It will be a very happy kingdom, a very happy government, a very happy earth at that time. It will truly change everything, as I've been telling you. A kingdom, a literal government, under Jesus Christ as King of Kings, set up on this earth. Turn now back to the book of Revelation again, Revelation chapter 14 at this time, Revelation chapter 14, and notice the character that some of the people in the kingdom, I should say some of them, all the people in the kingdom of God are going to have, obviously, the character of the true saints of God who will be there. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They learn to truly trust in Christ. They have total faith and trust that God is there, that God's way is right, that it's going to work. And so they live that way. They walk that way. They rule that way when they get to be kings and priests in the coming kingdom. Notice now, going back to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2 at this time, and beginning in verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. The nations of this world, the overcomers, will rule them with a rod of iron, it says. As the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father. Yes, Jesus received that, but he says the overcomers, the true saints of God, will also receive that power. If we really overcome ourselves, our human nature, if we learn to overcome this world, the pulls of this world, and if we overcome Satan the devil through Christ living his life within us, of course, as our Savior, our King, our Lord, then we will rule under Jesus over the governments on this earth. Notice now chapter 5, Revelation 5. And here we find in verse 8, the latter part, the prayers of the saints are described. And they sang a new song, the saints of God, this inspired prayer, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll," talking about Jesus Christ here, of course, "and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God. You have redeemed us, Christ is our Redeemer, by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth." So think about that. Learn to really understand that. That's a very key element, because most of you have been deceived in thinking you're going off to heaven with nothing to do. Well, that would be a very boring existence, and I think you understand that, a lot of you. But do think about it. The Bible says you shall rule on this earth. You're preparing for that now if you're a true saint of God. Notice now, back in 1 Corinthians, let's turn at this point to 1 Corinthians, the teaching of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul writes, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Think about that. The saints will judge the world. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said it, made very clear. The saints will judge this world. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? We're going to judge angelic hosts if we're born into the very family of the kingdom of God and members of that ruling kingdom, ruling over this earth. And we will also even rule over angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? We've got to exercise judgment in this life. If God is opening your mind, you need to respond. Use that mind that God has given you. Be willing to live by every word of the Bible, every word of this book. Do what the Bible says. Remember Jesus' statement. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. That's so important. We've got to learn to do those things. And so this is the coming kingdom of God that's to be set up on this earth. That's glorious good news. If we overcome and obey the true God, we will assist Jesus Christ in ruling this earth and bringing peace and joy to billions of human beings. That is indeed good news. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write immediately for a free copy of the audio tape of this very program. Prove these things to yourself from your own Bible. Prepare now for your real future. Call now and request your free audio tape.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in to next week's Tomorrow's World television program. Richard Ames and I will be giving you powerful and insightful messages on biblical prophecy and on the real meaning of life. We will provide you answers that you cannot obtain anywhere else. So tune in next week at the same time for Tomorrow's World. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579, or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.